We're going to be in Matthew chapter 24 tonight, and I've got just the first. Does everybody have a Band-Aid? I know many people dropped their Band-Aids, but they were in your thing. But there's Band-Aids down there, and I'll tell you what they're for in a little bit, if I don't forget, because I'm getting forgetful. But Matthew 24 starts with. When we come to Matthew 24, we're going to begin the prophetic books in Matthew. It's very interesting stuff. And, Sunday, if you're not going to be here, you'll hear. If you're not going to be here, you'll miss it. But Sunday, we're going to talk about how Jesus said it would be like the days of Noah when he comes. And we're going to talk about that. But tonight, as we start in Matthew 24, I've just given you three verses. But if you want to follow along, I think I tried to put everything in your little booklet there, little short booklet. Well, we're going to start out reading together Matthew 24, verses 1 through 3. So let's read it together. It's not a long part, but it's a good part. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Oh, this is a wonderful, wonderful section. As Jesus, he gets ready to, he comes out of the temple. The disciples, as he comes out of the temple, it says, they came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. You know, I've read that text many times and never thought much about it. But what they were doing was they were bragging on the temple. And they were looking at the temple and they were saying, look how big this is and how beautiful it is. And look at this Herod's temple. Now, it's nothing compared to the temple that Solomon made. Solomon's temple was a fantastic temple. But Herod built this temple. Now, and it was a beautiful, beautiful thing. And as they looked at Jesus and they bragged on the temple, and they said, look how beautiful it is. Jesus told them, he said, listen. He said, there's not going to be left one stone upon another, and it's all going to be thrown down. Now, what he was talking about was this. In 70 A.D., the temple would be destroyed. And the temple, which would be so beautiful, and it would just be a sign of Israel, and a sign of its greatness, and a sign of everything they had, it would be destroyed. And the reason it was going to be destroyed is because God's people had a temple, but God's people didn't have a God. They had turned away from the God who loved them. They had rejected the Lord. The Bible says that Jesus came unto his own, and his own would not receive him. He came to the Jews first to bless them, and they wouldn't be blessed. I'm telling you, that's a bad thing. Amen?
Amen.
You know, it's not how big you build things. And you know, God is not impressed with anything that we build. God made the heavens. He made the earth. He made everything that's in it. The Bible says that God made all things. But the Bible tells us also that God is immense. It says in Psalm 146:5, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God, who made heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and keeps faith forever. He executes judgment for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry, and sets the prisoners free. Our Lord, he opens the eyes of the blind. He lifts up those that are bowed down. And then it says, the Lord loves the righteous, and he watches over his people. You know, the temple is a fantastic thing, but the temple is no more because God's people stopped loving the Lord. So Jesus told him, he said, see, it's going to be all cast down. That word see there is a Greek word, blepo. It means you look at it all you want to, but it's not going to stand after a while. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain to build it. Unless we love God, then we labor in vain. But if we love God and we put God first, what did Jesus say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And what does he say? And all these things shall be added unto you. unto you. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
He said, if you seek me first, you love me first, then I'll bless you. Well, right after this, Jesus sits down on the Mount of Olives. And the Bible says the disciples come to him and they start asking Jesus questions. They say, tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? What is the signs of the time? What are the signs that Jesus is going to come and the world is going to end? Now, they wanted to know that. They wanted to know what the signs were. And they, you know, the Jews, they were always ready for God to give them the nation. But God won't give a nation or a blessing to an unredeemed people.
Right.
Boy, y'all look tired tonight. Look at your neighbor and say, cheer up.
Cheer up.
Holy cow. Y'all gonna make me come down here, ain't you? I'm gonna get down here and walk by like a Pentecostal preacher. Is that all right? You know, Jesus, they come to Jesus and say, what is the sign of your coming? The Jews were, they misunderstood the going of Jesus. Whenever Jesus talked about going to the cross, they didn't understand that. They said, Jesus, don't go, don't go. But the reason Jesus had to go to the cross is because God can't use an unredeemed people.
Amen.
A people that don't love God cannot be used of God. Amen. God has to be in your heart first. You need to be on fire for God if God is going to use you.
Amen.
I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't know where all these other people are, but I'm bored on Wednesday night. I like to come to church. I like to see y'all's faces. I like to see Tony sitting over there next to his beautiful wife. And I don't know what she said to her, but I hope it was good, Tony. I like to see Buster back there. I like to see Joe's here and his eyes hurting, but he's in church anyway. I like to see the people of God here. But more than anything, I want to see God. I want to feel God in the place. I don't need to just come in here and sit down and go through the motions. I've done that in high school and barely passed. I want to come in here and find God and be blessed of God. And I hope you do too.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. There's churches all over the state that have canceled Wednesday night services because the people hadn't come. And I want y'all to know the devil's told me many times. He said, you don't need to prepare a sermon on Wednesday night because there ain't going to be very many people there. But you know what God told me? He said, where two or more gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I need to prepare, and I need to bring it, and you need to hear it.
Amen.
But that's why we're here. We're here to see God. We need God. We need God to bless us. We need God to lift us up. Jesus, they asked Jesus, said, what's the sign of your coming? Jesus is coming again. And when he comes again, he's going to take his church off of this earth. We're going to find out in these two chapters that Jesus is going to take his church off the earth. We're going to find out that Jesus is going to drop judgment on this earth. And this world is going to go through 7 years of tribulation that is going to be the horriblest thing that the world has ever seen. It's going to be a time of great tribulation, so great that if God doesn't end it, the very elect will die through that. It's going to be a terrible time. When Jesus comes back, it's not going to be a light time because the darkness don't like the light.
Amen.
Never has. The darkness hates you and it hates God. And there's always going to be a struggle from darkness to light. They're always going to struggle because they can't exist in the same places. So Jesus asked the question. He said, they asked Jesus the question, what are the signs of your coming? Now let's take a look at this. I'm not even going to go up there. I'm just going to preach out of this little thing here. Is that all right?
Amen.
What's the first thing that's going to happen? What are the signs that are going to be there? First of all, Jesus said in Matthew 24:4-5, there shall be deception. Deception is going to come in the end times. What is the deception? Jesus said in Matthew 24:4, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they shall deceive many. There is deception. I got a book in my office that's this thick. It's a list of all the cults that are in America today. There are thousands upon thousands of cults that believe all kinds of things that are not biblical. You've heard of many of them. I don't have time to go through all of them. I'd have to preach for 10 weeks just to cover just a portion of them. But the Mormons, that's a cult.
You know, everybody says it's acceptable now. It's not. You ask a Mormon what they believe about Jesus. They believe Jesus is a created being. They don't believe that he's God. They think he's just a created being. They think he's just someone who was made. They say he might be a perfect man, but they say this. They say Jesus and Lucifer or Satan are brothers. They were brothers in heaven. And they fought in heaven over who was going to save the world. And guess who won? Jesus won. That's what the Mormons teach. Now, can I tell you something? That ain't in the Bible. It's not even close to the Bible. Jehovah's Witnesses. I tell you, there's one good thing Jehovah's Witnesses do. They knock on doors. They ain't ashamed to knock on doors. I wish we were more persistent, don't y'all? Amen. But they go knocking on doors. You know what Jehovah's Witnesses believe? Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus, again, is just a God. If you read their version of the Bible, John chapter 1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God. They believe that he is a created God, that he is a lesser being, that he is nothing at all. And they don't believe that Jesus come to save anybody. They believe you've got to work your way to heaven. Now, they're in good standing with a lot of people, because there's a lot of people think you've got to work your way to heaven. But let me tell you this. On your best day, you can't stand right before God. Amen. Everybody is a sinner, and all people have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You need Jesus. Whenever somebody comes to your door knocking on it, you need to ask them, what do you believe about Jesus? Can I tell y'all what the Bible says about Jesus? The Bible says Jesus is God. John 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all, through him, all things that are made have been made. We're told over in Hebrews chapter 1. Well, I dropped my Band-Aid. I got excited. Let me get my Band-Aid here. But Hebrews 1 verse 8 says, that unto the Son the Father saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Jesus is called God by God the Father. Jesus is God. Colossians 1, 14 through 17 says this, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Why? If Jesus is just another man, how could we get forgiveness for our sins? Well, the Bible tells you this. He is the image of the invisible God. He is the manifest God. He is the God who came and walked amongst us. He is the incarnate God, and he is the Lamb of God that makes payment for sins. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And praise God for that. Amen. Amen. Oh, I'm sorry I'm getting excited, but it's all right. I'll get excited for y'all, all right? Amen. What a wonderful Savior we have.
Amen.
There's going to be deception. People are going to deceive. Every time I turn on the TV, another scientist has found another thing that shows we come out of monkeys. And I half believe half the scientists are out of monkeys. But I ain't got a monkey for an uncle. I come out of God. I was made in the image of God, and my God came and redeemed me. That's what the gospel is. There's going to be deception. Number two, there's going to be distraction. Distraction. People are distracted. I have never seen so much distraction today as I've seen in our world. I was sitting in line the other day behind two or three people, and the light changed, and I started counting potatoes. One potato, two potato, three potato. When I get to 10 potato, the buffalo horn goes off.
Amen.
I looked up there and I was like, what in the world are we waiting on? Has somebody died up there? Do they need to call an ambulance? They're sitting here texting. And not just the one in the front, but the two behind them. They're all texting. I saw a bumper sticker the other day. Somebody had on their car, and the bumper sticker said, quit honking your horn. Can't you see I'm on the phone? That's how the world is. We're distracted today. Look what Jesus said in Matthew 24, 6 through 8. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. Don't be distracted. He said, don't get your eyes on other things. Don't get your eyes off of what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
These things happen. He says, look what he says. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. There's going to be distraction. See, if the devil can't deceive you, he's going to distract you. If the devil can't get your eyes on one thing, he'll try to get your eyes on something else. The devil is like those guys up in New York that play shell games with the peas. And you can't never find the P. And that's because most of them are palming them. Yeah. Listen, the devil will distract you. Jesus said this in verse 7. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in divers places. And then Jesus said this. He said, all these things are just the beginning of sorrows. You know, I looked up that word sorrows there. That word sorrows is a Greek word. It's odin, and it means labor pains or birth pains.
Yep.
He said, all these things that are going on, they're just birth pains. That's all they are. You know what a birth pain is? It's the end of the world as a woman's going through it, but it's promise of something better to come. Jesus is saying, this is just birth pains. It's not the end of the world yet. He said, the world's not going to end. He said, all those distractions, they're going to just be, that's all they are, is distractions. He said, keep your eyes on the Lord. What else? God's people shall be delivered up as civilization decreases. Jesus said in verses 9 and 10, he said, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted. I want to stop right there and I want to talk about this for a minute. The world is never going to love you. The world is not going to love you. And you might as well quit trying to make the world love you. It's not going to love you. To say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by Him, the world don't like that. To say that marriage is one man, one woman, the world don't like that. To say that we're not supposed to be sleeping from bed to bed to bed, the world don't like that. The world don't like it. And the world hates what we stand for. Jesus said, if they hated me, he said, they're going to hate you. And if they don't hate you, guess what? You've become just like they are.
Right.
I want you to imagine, if you would, has everybody got their Band-Aid?
No.
I want you to imagine, if you would, you cut yourself. And you come to the preacher's office. And you say, preacher, I've cut myself. Y'all didn't get a Band-Aid, Tony? Y'all want one? Y'all got some Band-Aids? You might need them. And you come to the preacher's office. You say, preacher, I've cut myself. And you got a little blood showing up there. And I look down in my desk drawer. And I say, I got a Band-Aid here, but it's a little bit used. There's some blood in it. And there's some pus in it. But it'll cover that blood up. And I'm going to get this Band-Aid right here, and I'm going to give it to you. It's a little bit used. Would that be all right with you, Jerry? Jerry's looking at me like I lost my mind. He's like, he's got his eyes rolled back in his head.
He looks at us that way.
You know, that's disgusting, isn't it?
Yes.
When you get a Band-Aid, you want it nice and sealed like this, don't you? You want it separate from the world. You don't want it to have the world all over it. That's what Jesus said to his church. Jesus said to his church, he said, come ye out from among them and be ye holy. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost its saltiness, what good is it but to be tossed out and thrown into the street for people to trample on? That's what the Bible says. God's people have got to love the Lord. And if you love the Lord, then they're going to deliver you up. People are going to talk about you. Look at verse 9 and 10. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Have y'all noticed a Muslim can take a 5-year-old baby, strap a bomb on that baby, send that baby into a crowd, kill the baby, kill the crowd, and everybody will stand around and say the Muslim is a religion of peace. Have y'all noticed that? That they can do anything and get away with it. But you let a Christian stub his toe and say a word he shouldn't say, and ABC News will run a special on them nasty Christians. That's what they do. You know why that is? Because the devil don't care about the Muslim. The devil don't care about the Muslim. The devil don't care about the Mormon. The devil don't care about Jehovah's Witnesses. See, he's already got them. And once he's got them, he don't care. They're just a dirty band. The devil don't care about a person that sits in the pew but goes outside this building and acts like a hypocrite and is completely different from God. But when they come in here, they're holier than that. The devil don't care about that. But the devil and the world despises a Christian and always will. You see, we've got to get over worrying about what people are going to say about us and worry about what he says about us.
Amen.
We got to quit worrying about hurting somebody else's feelings and worry about hurting the Holy Spirit's feelings. You see, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and inside of me if you're born again. And the Holy Spirit wants you to live a life pleasing unto him. Amen. Jesus said, he said, you'll be delivered up. And he said, look what he says in verse number 10. And then shall many be offended. I can't hardly turn the TV on anymore and see where somebody won't offend it over something.
Oh, I know.
You're going to offend them. Now, that don't mean you got to be ugly, but you're going to offend them. You're going to offend them. He says, and shall betray one another, and they shall hate one another. I think the reason America has gotten so low is because the church has gotten low. Amen.
Amen.
You see, God's church is the conscience of the nation.
Amen.
And when the conscience says, that ain't what God said, the nation might scream against it. And they might be mad about it. But let me tell you something. God's pleased.
Amen.
And the nation civilizes.
Amen.
We're losing civilization. Jesus, in Matthew 23, stood before he started these prophecies. And Jesus stood, and in verse 37, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets, you stone them which have been sent unto you. How often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings? But you would not. And look what he says. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. He said, I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You see, as the church gets away from God, the world gets away from God. As God's people are delivered up, civilization decreases. But as the end time comes, the Lord tells his people to keep their eyes on him, to keep being the salt and the light. I quoted this from memory a while ago. Look at Matthew 5:13. I think it's the last verse, next to the last verse I've got on there. He says, you are the salt of the earth, and if the salt has lost its savior, wherewith shall it be salted? It's thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under feet of men. You're the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it gives light unto all them in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Bible says, live for God anyway, because God's way is the best way.
Amen.
Jesus ended in verse number 13, and I'll stop with this. Jesus said, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. What does that mean? Does that mean I got to work my way to heaven? No. What that means is this. My Bible tells me that God who began the work in you will not stop that work until the day of the coming of Christ. He said in Philippians 1:6, he said it's not going to stop. God will continue with the work. And those who are born again, they'll endure. Those who fall off probably weren't saved in the first place. And there's a lot of fake and pseudo. We're going to see more and more of that as time goes on. I think God is shaking his church. But I think in the end, in fact I know in the end, I read the back of the book, we're going to win. Jesus is coming again. Amen. And we will win. Well, it was good to be in God's house with you today. I pray God has touched your heart. I pray you'll go out of here on fire for Jesus. Jerry, want to do another song? You want to just call it a night?
Let's just call it a night.
Just call it a night. You look tired.
I am tired.
You going to think about that Band-Aid when you go home?
That Band-Aid?
Probably not.
Well, if y'all stand, we'll be dismissed.
We'll call it a night.